Tonight's actually the last class of this series of Rashi. This is our fifth class. Okay, so tonight's study is the study of Yaakov and Esav, a little bit, a very well-known topic. We're going to delve into it a little bit deeper. New things, hopefully, will be revealed or understood. And we'll get to Rashi as well. I mean, Rashi, we'll try to understand Rashi, I promise. We'll try to get that at the end. Okay, Yaakov and Esau. So let's just put ourselves in the context of what's going on. Last week's Parsha, as we know, Parsha's Vayetze, Yaakov is running away from his father-in-law. Hopefully not a familiar scene for most of us, but Yaakov's running away from his father-in-law Laban, with his children and his wives, and Laban is chasing him to the end of the parsha, and they end up at Har Gilad, and over there, Laban is basically ready to kill and wipe out Yaakov, or at least claim all of the children and all the wives back. Basically, everything is his, and he's going to go back with them. But Hashem warned Laban not to say anything to Yaakov, not to start up with him. And Yaakov is secure. And at the end of the very end of the parsha, Yaakov encounters, as he's about to enter Eretz Yisrael, he encounters angels. And he calls the place Machanayim. Well known, right? Machanayim, we know Machanayim. Okay, so that's Machanayim. And now we are about to begin the story with Yaakov and Esau. Now, by the way, just the geographical location of what's happening over here. So Laban and Yaakov are in Har Gilad, which is, let's call that the Ramat HaGolan. They're somewhere in the far northeast of Eretz Yisrael. And Esau is in Edom, which is basically northern Jordan or southern Syria of today. That's where Edom is. And Yaakov is traveling southwest toward Eretz Yisrael, and he's going to encounter Esav. Now, Yaakov and Esav are very different foes for Yaakov. The Vilna Gaon explains that when Esther in the Megillah says, Ish tsar ve'oyev haman hara hazeh, who, Achashverosh says to Esther at the second day at the party, says to her, who's this man, right? And she points to Achashverosh, she points to Amon, she says, Ish tsar ve'oyev. So the Gra explains, Vilna Gaon explains that there's a difference between a tsar and an oyev. Or, if you will, a sone, someone who hates you, and an oyev, an enemy. A sone hates you in their heart. It might express itself sometimes. It may not express itself sometimes. But they hate you in their heart. An oyev is someone who's going to go after you to kill you, chase you and kill you. He's an outward, covert and overt enemies. Two different types of enemies. Lavan is the enemy that will chase down Yaakov and kill him. That is a lavan. Esav is not like that. I know we all think of Esav as, you know, the villain of the Chumash. But Esav's really not that to Yaakov. Halacha l'moshe misinai Esav sone l'Yaakov. We say, Chazal teach us that Esav is a sone to Yaakov. He hates Yaakov in his heart. Now, that means sometimes it will express itself, and sometimes it won't. But Esav's not on the chase to kill Yaakov. Sometimes it is. Sometimes he hates him so much that he'll do something about it. That's what Yaakov's scared about. Right? Esav harbors feelings against Yaakov. Yaakov stole the blessings. He's going to get up and kill him. He's got to run. But otherwise, Esav will be, you know, Esav won't be out there to kill him. Laban, on the other hand, Laban will try to, you know, to wiggle his way through and get Yaakov's kids back and the wives, and he'll try to kill Yaakov. He is an oyev. So we're now changing enemies. Okay, it's a new parsha. We're done with Laban being a oyev, and now we're downgrading in some sense, but it's much more dangerous because we don't know our enemy now. See, when you deal with a Laban, it's obvious. It's a person who's out there to kill you in your face. They're out there to make an attack against you. You know your enemy. But with an Esav, you don't know what you're getting. Sometimes he's the enemy, and sometimes he's making peace with you. That's what it says in the parasha. Hatzileni na miyad achi miyad Esav. Right? Please save me from my father's hand, from the hand of Esav. Meaning, sometimes he acts like my brother, sometimes he acts like an Esav. So that's just that. This, first of all, what we have to understand. Now, you know, we all know, and I want to drill this point a little bit. We all know that Yaakov and Esav are twins. We know that. And we know there was supposed to be some kind of a relationship between Yaakov and Esav. But even when Esav is a Rasha, even when Esav is not the, I don't know, Yisachar and Zebulun, the two buddies, and they're brothers, and they have a partnership, even when they're not that, even when Esav wants to kill Yaakov, Esav is still a partner with Yaakov. It's a type of partner that brings the best out in Yaakov and pushes Yaakov to the bone to bring out his best potential. You see, there's one type of partnership, which is a Yaakov and Esav, one sort of ideal partnership, where they're working toward the same goal. And that's the partnership. Esav is, let's say, taking care of the material needs, and Yaakov is involved in the spiritual needs, and they're perfecting the world in that partnership. But sometimes the partnership is a partnership whether the goals are the same or not. And Esav's goal is not the same goal as Yaakov's goal. Very different, the antithesis probably of Yaakov. But they're still twins. They're still partners. It doesn't mean they're no longer partners. And that partnership brings out enormous things in Yaakov. Incredibly challenging for Yaakov. Because Yaakov could do great when he's a partner with someone who's aiming for the same goal. But when someone's pulling away, Yaakov has to pull his weight in the material and in the spiritual and contend with being on the offense at the same time.
Just a question about being twins. What is the meaning of it, deeper meaning of it being twins? Are they closer, as you were pointing out, spiritually, physically, or what?
Well, I don't know if it applies to every twins, but definitely Yaakov and Esav it applies to, in the sense that really they're essentially part of this. You know, from the fact that they were conceived at the same time, means that they're coming from the same, you know, that same union between Yitzchak and Rivka. That's where Yaakov and Esav are coming from, that same union. And there's something, they're that composite of that same union between Yitzchak and Rivka. And that is bringing forth a Yaakov and an Esav. Now it's for them to actualize it in different ways. It would have been ideal, the way Yitzchak hoped, that Esav would be a real, true, ideal partner for Yaakov. But even when he's not, he's the antithesis of Yaakov, he's still a partner with Yaakov, whether Yaakov likes it or not, he's still the partner. And he's not going to achieve the same goal. He's not going to be holding hands with Yaakov and they're going to walk to the finish line together. That's not what's going to happen. What's going to happen is that Esav's negative effect in the world, so to say, will bring out the absolute most in Yaakov. Whereas if Yaakov would have shared, if you will, the common goal and the achievement with Esav before, now that Esav is taking no achievement, Yaakov has to do all that achievement, and it'll bring out things in Yaakov that never would have been brought out if Esav would have been his partner, possibly. Okay, that's the idea I'm trying to share with you. Okay, that itself is really an enormous idea. So we have to understand, Esav hates Yaakov. So that hatred for Yaakov, and sometimes friendship of Yaakov, that tension of I'm your friend, I'm someone who hates you, that sort of imbalance that exists in Esav toward Yaakov brings Yaakov to always live the two sides of the fence, to always be on both sides of the fence, to always be very chummy and close with Esav, but also keeping his distance from Esav in a way where Yaakov is living a different dimension. A dimension where he realizes that he's vulnerable. And in that vulnerability, Yaakov is connected with Hashem, and that's where his potential comes out. That is what is going on between Yaakov and Esav. Esav is being his friend. Esav sometimes not being his friend. Yaakov doesn't know how to deal with Esav. He's troubled. He's sending him mixed messages because he's not sure what to say exactly. And that causes Yaakov to be vulnerable. And in his vulnerability, he has to deal and contend with what's going on in the physical world with Esav. And he has to realize that that vulnerability connects him and unites him with Hashem. That is what is called Yisrael. Meaning that vulnerability, understanding that we can't really contend with we can't contend properly and fully and engage fully with the physical world. Sometimes the physical world, if you will, let's say more on an individual level. Sometimes the physical world is our friend. But sometimes it's very hard to contend with the physical world. That makes us vulnerable. When we're able to overcome that, surmount those obstacles, then we can become a Yisrael. And that's how Yaakov becomes a Yisrael in this week's parsha. That's what Esav is doing to Yaakov. I thought that as Yaakov is approaching Esav in this beginning of this week's parsha, I thought it would be so appropriate for us to reflect for a few minutes on the blessings that Yitzchak gave Esav and Yaakov. There are two statements that Yitzchak gave Yaakov, thinking he's Esav. And there are two statements that he gave Esav, knowing that it's Esav. Okay? There are two statements. The fact that Yitzchak thought it was Esav, and it turned out to be Yaakov, is not relevant right now. What Yitzchak thought, we're not focusing on what Yitzchak thought when he was giving the blessings, we're focusing on the recipient. So the first blessings were given to Yaakov, and the second to Esav. And what I did is I made a chart. And I know that it's only in the Hebrew, we're going to read through it. But I want you to listen to the words, and I bolded some of the text. I want you to look at what's going on over here. And I want to add one more point. We know this already, but I want to just bring it in. The word Esav, we know, comes from the word asui, made. Esav was born totally completely covered with hair. He was much more physically, mature and so on, if you will, he I don't know what the word is to use, but basically he was covered in hair. He was more adult-like, if you will. He was more developed than Yaakov, who was smooth and so on. The word Esav means made. So when you're made, you're not vulnerable. The portion that you get is the portion that is and is complete. When you're a Yaakov, and we know Yaakov comes from the word heel, where he's grabbing onto Esav's heel as he's coming up, he's struggling to hold on to something, that's made, but really that's not him. So he's dealing with the physical, if you will, Esav representing the complete, the physical that is not vulnerable. And Yaakov is holding on to that, but he's Yaakov. And Yaakov has multiple meanings. We're not going to go into the word a lot, but just the idea is that he's contending with, he's struggling with something. Okay? He's struggling. He has to maneuver around in order to succeed. Okay? Let's look at the blessings. The first statement, and this chart is read across, okay, from right to left. The first statement is a personal blessing. Yitzchak blesses his son, it happened to be Yaakov, with a blessing. Listen to the blessing, and I bolded some of the words. Listen. V'yitein lecha ha'elohim. May God give you mital hashamayim, from the dew of the heaven, u'mishmanei ha'aretz, and from the fattiness, the productivity of the land, v'rov dagan v'tirosh, and a abundance of grain and wine. Listen to those words. Again, I'm going to read them just one more time. V'itein lecha ha'elohim. God should give you. God should give you. Where's the bracha coming from? Hashem. The bracha to Yaakov is coming from Hashem, and it's being given to him. From where does it begin from? Does someone want to say, where does it start from?
The Shemayim.
Mital HaShemayim. And then it goes down to the land, Umishamnei Haaretz, and from the fats of the ground, Verov Dagar V'Tirosh, in an abundance, to the point that the blessing comes down so much that it's abundant. Now listen to Yaakov, I made a mistake. That always happens. Okay. I put the psukim in the wrong place. We're gonna read it down. Sorry, I messed up the whole chart.
Yeah, I apologize.
I messed up the chart. Okay? Basically, Yaakov is a cross at the top and Esav is a cross on the bottom. I put the psukim in the wrong place. My apologies. Okay. So we're gonna go down to the bottom right. Listen to what Yitzchak says to Esav in contrast. Hine, behold. We're at the bottom right. Mishmanei ha'aretz yihiyat moshavecha. In the fattiness of the land, you will dwell. That's where your dwelling place will be. Umital ha'shamayim me'al. And also, from the dew of the heavens above. You see the tremendous contrast of the personal blessing that's given to Yaakov and given to Esau. Does someone want to... I know I bolded some of the words. Does someone want to take some of the words and emphasize them, embellish them, explain?
This one doesn't come from God. Mm-hmm.
Which one?
Esau's.
So the second blessing, the one on the bottom right, Esau's blessing, does not come from God. Where does it come from? Well, he's giving him the fattiness of the land. Where does the blessing come from? It is. No one's giving the blessing. No one's giving this blessing to Esau. It's Hine. Behold, it's over here. It's done. Who did it? Who cares who did it? What is that? That's history. It's there. It's done. With Yaakov, it's always you're getting. You're getting from Hashem. So Esau... Notice the words. Your dwelling place will be. It is. It's a fact. It will be.
And it's finite. I mean, mm-hmm. Yaakov's going to keep getting it.
The rose dagan v'tirosh.
Be tem. God will keep giving.
Oh, he'll keep giving.
He'll keep giving. This is finite.
Here it is. Got it. There it is. It's fixed.
That's what you're going to get.
And the order. It starts first with the land, and then it goes to the heavens, as opposed to Yaakov, right? Which started from the Shemayim, those darts. We could dwell on this more. I want to progress a little bit more. Let's just look. I know there's a lot of Hebrew words here, but I think we'll be able to work through it. The blessings over here in the left column, descending in the left, are the blessings to Yaakov and Esau. The first one is to Yaakov, and the second is to Esau, with relation to other people. So what's Yaakov's relationship with other people? Let's read the top left. Ya'avducha amim. Nations will serve you. V'yishtachavu lecha le'umim. And nations will bow to you. Hevei gevir le'achecha. You will be a master to your brother. V'yishtachavu lecha b'nei imecha. And the sons of your mother will bow to you. Notice there's four groups here. There's the Amim, there's the Le'umim, there's your brother, and there's the sons of your mother. There's a lot of different people bowing to Yaakov. Orerecha Arur, Umevarechecha Baruch. Those who curse you are cursed. Those who bless you are blessed. Whose blessing is that? Does anyone know those words from somewhere else?
From
Avram. In the beginning of Parshas Lech Lecha, Hashem tells Avram, Orecha, basically these words. Yeah? What does it say? Vavarcha, mevarchecha, umekalelcha, or. Reverse thing, but the idea is basically there, and to get into the difference between Yaakov and Esau, Yaakov and Abraham, we're not going to get into that right now. But basically, the idea is this is the blessing, Birkas Abraham. This is the blessing of Abraham. So over here it says a bunch of different groups are going to bow to Yaakov, the nations, these nations, the brother, the sons of the mother, and everyone who curses you will be cursed, everyone who blesses you will be blessed. Bottom left, what does he say to Esav? Ve'al charbecha tichyeh, you will live by your sword, famous line. Ve'et achicha ta'avot, and you will serve your brother. Ve'haya, and it will be. Kasher tarid ufarakta ulo me'atzavarecha. When you succeed, you will be successful in removing his yoke from on top of your what? Your neck. From top of your neck.
Tarid is, what does that come from? Yeah, it's kind of a new word.
Yeah, it's a new word. When you basically rebel against your brother, like married, when you rebel and you're successful over your brother, then you'll be able to throw off your yoke. Awesome. Who is Esav relating to in this pasuk? Who is he relating to? You'll live by the sword. You'll serve your brother. When you rebel, you'll be able to throw off his yoke. Only his brother. He's not related to anyone else. Yaakov has a universal relationship with the world, with nations. Yaakov has an international relationship. He's got an embassy in every country. Everyone's serving Yaakov. When it comes to Esav, Esav lives by the sword. He rebels against his brother. Esav doesn't really have a relationship with the whole world entire. Because Esav's place... Because really, okay, Yaakov got the blessings, and Yaakov's the one who gets the blessings, so Yaakov's place is everything. Yitzchak thought it would be Esav, but ultimately, Yaakov's place is everything. And Esav's place is limited to the physical and to his ability to contend with someone who has everything. That's who Esav is. Why do you think Esav hates Yaakov?
Jealous.
What is he jealous of?
He has everything.
Yaakov has everything. Okay. Yaakov has everything. What do you mean he has everything? What does he have?
You just said.
Yeah. Okay. He has a relationship with the entire world, with all these nations that are bowing to him. He got these beautiful blessings.
But he has, in Esav's eyes, that means power.
Okay.
And he... It's all about Esav, to Esav.
What do you mean by that? In Esav's eyes, that means power. What do you mean?
He looks at Yaakov and sees, it's not, I mean, he sees the reality that when he's down, Yaakov's up.
He just sees that physical, you know, mundane, political, if you will, social struggle.
I think he sees more than that.
What does he see?
I think that he sees that, because he's still Yitzchak's son.
Uh-huh.
You know, and he sees that maybe he made a terrible mistake.
Okay.
And because of that, there is something very special. It's like he took a deal, and it's easier to be angry than regretful.
Okay.
And so he chooses that way.
Okay. There's a reality going on in the world that Yaakov's part of. Yaakov is very successful. Okay, he has his struggles, right? Everyone has to bow to him. Laban's chasing him, wanting to kill him, and God says, don't touch him.
Yeah.
Don't touch him. You better be very careful. Don't touch him. You better, you know, kiss up to Yaakov, basically, you know, because you better not touch him. I'm protecting him.
It's a nice choice of words.
Right? That's what's happening with Laban, right? And many nations, they have to be very careful. Right, without going into detail, there are many Gemaras about those that hate the Jewish people will be on top, but in the world to come will be on the bottom, and there's a lot of that. That's Yaakov contends with everything. Esav is ignoring the reality, standing there going, you know, he doesn't want to hear anything. It's like a student, you know, that you're telling, I'm not listening, you know, he's plugging his ears and saying, I don't care, I'm gonna rebel, I don't care, that's, you know, I'm gonna ignore the reality. But I think that you're right. Deep down inside of Esav, when he realizes what Yaakov really is, then he is jealous, like you said, Rachel, he's jealous. And he's jealous maybe with the fact that Yaakov has a relationship with Hashem. Okay, it's a difficult life, but he should have had it, and so on. Okay, so that's the Yaakov and Esav scenario. Now, Okay, that's the backdrop. Okay, and there's a lot to emphasize in the words. I don't want to go into great detail in the words. I bolded some of the words. I want to just emphasize the words, just simply with the Asa blessing, which is the bottom right and the top left. Notice the words Yihyeh, or Hine, or the word Heve, the word Hine, or Yihyeh, right? Meaning, behold, it is, and so on. When he speaks to Yaakov, he tells him at the top right, at the top left, Heve Gevir Lachecha, you should become, you should be, and so on. Not that it is. It is like, this is the way it will be. May it be the will of Hashem that you should become Heve Gevir Lachecha. Okay. With the ace of it is. Now, let's go. We're now continuing to the bottom of the page. Okay. Listen, we're going to read through the eight lines. These are the words that Yaakov says to Esav. The words that Yaakov is going to say to Esav when they meet, or when his messengers at least meet Esav for the first time after years and years. What would you expect, ladies and gentlemen, what would you expect Yaakov to say to Esav? He knows Esav is upset about the brachos. He knows about the struggle that Esav plays against Yaakov. He knows that Esav could be his friend. He knows Esav could be his enemy. He's vulnerable. What messages is he going to send to Esav?
I'm sorry for what I did.
I'm sorry for... Why would he say I'm sorry?
He's afraid of him.
He's afraid. He's really, really afraid.
So he sort of wants to appease him.
So he'll just try to appease him.
Yeah.
He'll try to appease him. Okay, so he's afraid, he'll try to appease him. What else?
Even before he met him, he did three things, didn't he?
He did three things.
Yeah.
Gifts
and prayer.
Prayer. And preparing for war. Really, the truth is that happens a little bit, a few psukim later in the parsha, when he realizes Esav is coming against him with 400 men, so he's terrified, and that's when he does those three things.
Mm-hmm.
So here we're, I appreciate that, here we're even before that. He's sending a message to Esav before he knows exactly what Esav is doing. He knows that he's entering Eretz Yisrael, he's going to cross by Esav. Esav's for sure going to hear that Yaakov Avinu is coming by. He's on the lookout to kill Yaakov. What's Yaakov doing? Yaakov is scared.
He's making it nice.
Why is he scared?
Let's see. Physically, he's afraid of being killed.
But why? Why? Well, he doesn't know that yet, right?
Okay.
Why is he scared of Esau?
Let's see. Oh, because you know he took his blessing from his father.
Right.
Right. So he's he's just really angry at it for that.
Okay.
He's out to get him because I took your blessing.
Right.
So
his last experience with Esav was an experience where he fled. He ran away.
Right.
Vayivrach Yaakov Sadei Arav, and I think it's a Haftorah,
mm-hmm.
maybe this week's Parsha, that Yaakov fled. Right? He fled. Wait, was it last week's Parsha? I think maybe this week's Parsha, last week's Parsha, where Yaakov is described that fleeing. Right? But Esav, so he's scared of Esav on one hand, but is it possible that Esav made up with him? Is it possible that Esav is appeased before Yaakov even shows up? Is that a possibility?
Yeah.
That Yaakov's entertaining?
Oh,
so what?
Entertaining.
Is that a possibility?
He's thinking,
is Yaakov saying like, okay, chances are he's really angry with me and he wants to kill me. There is a possibility that he's over it. Is that a possibility that Yaakov might entertain?
It's
a possibility that he might entertain.
He got all the goodies physically, and he's really not interested in meeting the Jewish nation.
Okay.
But he's got everything.
Okay. So, some of the thoughts that are going through Yaakov's head. Yes. Go ahead.
I'm just wondering. I'm going back to Avram.
Yes.
Maybe Yaakov also feels because he's the Yaakov he is, that he's used up some of his merits, and that would be why he would be frightened.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, I mean, if he has emunah like no one else, mm-hmm. but if he's, you know, he's on the debit side,
mm-hmm.
then things might not be, he might be, and maybe he also knows that it's one way or the other, and that it could tip.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the Muznayim thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it could tip at any time. So he's afraid.
He's afraid. Okay.
He was given the leadership of the Jewish people, and he feels that that's important. He doesn't realize that Esau doesn't give a darn about it.
Uh-huh.
And Esau is coming with 400 men. Shows that he's got a lot of money. He's got a fortune. He's got all the wealth. And he really said he doesn't really care about being the leader of the Jewish nation. So.
Okay. He's definitely about to discover those things. Now let's dig a little deeper. He's afraid. Okay, let's go a little deeper. He's afraid.
Right.
He wants to appease Esav. What's the best way to appease Esav? Let's think about what is Esav's perspective of Yaakov? How does he want to appease Esav? What's Esav's perspective of Yaakov?
That you took my blessing and you got everything, basically. You got all the good stuff. You got the things that I wanted.
Right. So yeah, for sure. Like we said, he feels he's got everything. He's jealous. So he's going to say, I've got nothing. Mm-hmm. I really don't have much. I really don't have much. But Esav knows that that's ridiculous. I mean, what do you mean you don't have much? I mean, okay, you don't have much right now, but you still stole my blessings. If it didn't happen now, I mean, I know my father Yitzchak. Listen, I'm Esav. I know my father Yitzchak, and when he gave blessings, they work. Okay? He's got the power. Yitzchak's got the power. So they didn't work yet. They're going to work. Aren't they? So, fine. So I shouldn't hate you because it didn't happen yet. How are you appeasing me? It didn't happen yet. So, in 10 years, you'll become all-powerful, and you have a relationship with all the nations, and I'll be in low life, you know, and have no relationship with Hashem, no relationship with anyone, not to live by my sword, and not to struggle. Of course I hate you.
Right.
But how are you appeasing me by telling me you don't have anything? What does Yaakov have to do? Yaakov has to say, the blessings already should have worked, because I did my utmost to be the utmost potential that I could be. And yet, the blessings didn't work. Because if Yaakov just says the blessings didn't work, so he's going to say, fine, it didn't work yet. Of course they're going to work. No one's doubting Yitzchak's power for blessing. Esav, as much as he's a Rasha, he knows, you know, he might not know anything. It's, you know, sometimes you have people that are superstitious, or they believe in one mitzvah. They don't know anything else. But this mitzvah, that's their mitzvah. You know, they stick to it. Esav doesn't necessarily know anything about anything. He doesn't care about anything. But he knows that his father's word is a blessing. That's a blessing that works. So Yaakov's going to try to fool him, make fun of him, and, you know, mock him by pretending that the blessings didn't work. That's ridiculous. Of course he won't believe it. So what's Yaakov going to say? I don't have much. It didn't work. That's ridiculous. Of course it's going to work. So it didn't work yet. It's going to work. What Yaakov needs to say is, I have been the biggest tzaddik in the world. And yet, the blessings didn't work. Not because the blessings are faulty. Why didn't the blessings work? Ladies and gentlemen, why didn't the blessings work? Why wouldn't the blessings work? If the blessings are effective, and Yaakov is a great tzaddik, why won't the blessings work? Why? The blessings are, Yitzchak gives good blessings. Yaakov was a big tzaddik. He's going to say, Im Lavan garti, v'tayag mitzvot shamarti. I lived with Lavan, I observed the entire Torah. Why won't the blessings work?
Wasn't it Eretz Yisrael?
It wasn't in Eretz Yisrael. So when he goes to Eretz Yisrael, then it'll work.
Yeah.
So how's he going to convince Esau? No, I'm just, you know, trying
right,
to...
Right.
What's the answer? The answer is, they're never going to work. You know why? Because I tricked my father. They weren't intended for me. They were intended for you. So you're worried that I tricked him and his blessings work and I'm a tzaddik and it's going to fall on me and I'll be successful and you'll be nothing with a sword? No. They'll never, ever work. because I did my utmost. I was the biggest tzaddik, and the blessings simply can never reach me, even though I'm the biggest tzaddik.
Is that true?
Huh?
Is that really true?
No.
So that really is.
No, but Esav can be appeased by the fact that Yaakov did observe all the mitzvos, and yet he doesn't have all the blessing. Now, the reality is, Yaakov doesn't have all the blessing yet, but Esav is going to be bluffed, because what's going to happen is Yaakov's telling Esav, really, I'm never going to get them, because they were intended for you. So you got your blessings, I got zero. I not only did not get my blessing, I didn't even get your blessing. I got nothing.
Is it really so important? Did Esau really think that far ahead? Does he really care about those blessings?
Well,
I don't think
I'm not going to be able to prove that he does, but these people are biblical personalities. So they're thinking on very grand scales. And they're thinking about the blessing of Abraham, the blessing of Isaac. This is monumental. This is the world. This is the world. This is everything.
To
Yaakov. Now, by Esav, even though Esav maybe couldn't care, he was a Rasha. But like I said, one thing was clear to him. There's something called a blessing from Yitzhak Avinu. That is gold. That can change the world. That can change reality. What they're really struggling about, the way Yaakov really has to convince himself, is to say things that say to him, I'm a nothing. I'm a nothing. And even if you think I'm a nothing today, but I'll become a something, it's not going to happen. Because even when it happens, I won't get it. Because I did it already. I'm a full tzaddik. I'm already there. And yet the blessings didn't occur. And that is exactly what Yaakov says. Exactly. And that's the two explanations of Rashi on the word garti. Beautiful. Im lavan garti. The word garti, it should say, I was with Lavan. I was late, I was late because I'm with Lavan. I haven't been at your service for so long because I've been with Lavan. Why does he use the word garti? Says Rashi on the next page, and we'll not read it this evening, because we're out of time. But Rashi has two explanations, 902. The first explanation of Rashi is, Garti, I was just a vagabond, I was not a ger in the convert sense, in the sense that I was a sojourner. I did not have a permanent dwelling. I ended up with Laban. I have nothing. You think the blessings came true? They didn't come true. Says Rashi, another explanation, what does garti mean? Garti, I dwelled, also means the letters taryag, taf resh yud gimel, 613, I observed or I studied and I invested myself and I connected myself with all the 613 principles of the Torah, even though the Torah wasn't given yet. Yaakov kept all the Torah, just like Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and all the Shvatim. They knew of the Torah, and they studied the Torah, and that's how they were connected to the Torah. And Yaakov didn't leave the Torah for a moment, like we know. So Yaakov's saying, and even if you think the blessings will come true, no. Because Taryag Mitzvot Shamarti, and I observed the 613 mitzvahs, and still the blessings never came true.
And a couple of things about it. One is, he says nothing came true, and he's coming with all these animals, people, and children, and all this.
Yes.
So it doesn't seem like the blessings didn't come true. That's one thing that bothers me.
Okay, Rashi answers that question. Can I just answer that?
Okay.
Rashi says that he says, look, and I have shor v'chamor v'tzon v'eved v'shifcha. I have all these things. I have an ox, a donkey, and he means the species. I have oxen. I have donkeys. I have sheep. I have slaves. I have maidservants. I have all these things.
And he brought him all these gifts.
And he brought them, and he gives him all the gifts.
Usually, right? 100 of these, and 20 of these.
Says Rashi asks the question, how can he be appeasing Yaakov, Esav, by bringing all these things? He's contradicting himself. He's going to say, what are you talking about? Look around. Don't you see all this blessing? What do you want? No, because the blessing of Yitzchak was mital hashamayim umishmanei haaretz. It was something that was agricultural. It was something that would be from the dew of the heavens. And this is livestock. you know, livestock and slaves, that might be that I have these things. I mean, they're transient. They can come and go. Metaltalin, you know, it's going to come and go. This is not property. This is not agricultural wealth. So the blessing of my father never came true. This is lo min hashamayim, velo min haaretz. This is neither. I don't have something that's, you know, I don't have the dew that supports the land, and I don't have the land. So it didn't come true. It's true, I have all these things, but they're totally transient. Avadim enachem karka, or something like that.
Right.
Anyways, but yeah, okay. That's Rashi's question. Yeah, Rashi answers that question.
Yeah.
Do you have another question on that?
What not else? On that, but the other thing that was bothering me is, if he really is saying that not only haven't I got the blessing, but I'm never going to get it.
Yes.
And it's not true.
Yes.
How could Yaakov be the man of truth and say that?
Yes.
And sort of deceive his brother again. It's like this
continuous,
continuation of that pattern.
Okay. So I haven't studied an answer to that question. But I think I have an answer. I think I have an answer to that question. Okay. Yaakov, being an Ish Emes, can resort to the fact that because he is a tzaddik and Hashem is very meticulous with tzaddikim, the brachos are very, very, they're very sublime, they're very, very spiritual, and they have to fall on the right person, and even though the brachos are true, you have to be a good kli, a good vessel to receive the blessings. So Yaakov saying, I did my utmost, and they haven't come true yet. Will they come true? Probably not, because I'm doing my best and they still didn't come true yet. So, is Yaakov guaranteed that they will come true? They might come true.
Even in his own mind.
In his own mind. He doesn't know. Vayira Yaakov ma'od vayitzolo. He was worried. Katonti mikola chasadim mikola emes. I don't know. Maybe it's true that I don't have the merits. So Yaakov can confidently say, I haven't gotten it yet. I have no guarantee of getting it in the future because of my lacking. Not because of the blessings, but my lacking. So Esav, why are you jealous of me? And I still don't have it. And that, when Esav hears that argument, Esav could be appeased. On that, Esav can say, you know, it's a good point. The blessings really didn't come true with you, and I know you were a great tzaddik in because you speak the truth. And when you tell me you did that, you did it. And therefore, and it didn't happen, so, and it may not come true. That's a good point. Now the truth is that Yaakov has the ability, this might be something that Esav has no concept of, that Yaakov has the ability to surpass any limitation in the world through his tefillah and his Torah, to the point that even if he's not worthy, because he has the blessings, Hashem will still give it to him. That is something that Esav can't even imagine as a possibility. So he's able to appease Esav. That's Yaakov. That's where Yaakov has that connection that Esav never sees. You know, that's something. I'm sorry. Yes.
Why did Yaakov approach Esau and bow? I don't know, to the ground 8 or 9 times, whatever it was. Why?
To appease him.
Mm-hmm. I believe so. Yes.
Yes.
Very much so. But yeah. I all this argumentation about the blessings, I don't. Somehow I don't think Esau really cared at that point. That was 20, how many years ago? 20.
Yes, but Esau realized, Esau knows. He knows one thing. He knows, it's the same thing I said already. He knows that Yitzchak's blessing is a genuine reality that comes true and can change the world. And whoever got it is a winner. And Yaakov has to get out of that somehow. And he does care about that. That is everything. That shattered when the Esav discovered that Yaakov took his blessings, and he trembled and he was overwhelmed, and he could, his whole world view shattered. Like he couldn't believe that someone took the most valuable thing on in history away from him.
Yeah, 27 years or whatever it was, to reflect upon it, to think about it, and to just ignore it.
But it doesn't change. Okay, I don't want to make any kind of, you know, rude comparisons, and you'll excuse me, but just because 6 million Jews were wiped out 60 years ago doesn't mean that, you know, it's been 60 years, we can reflect on it and move on. I mean, you know, a mullig is a mullig, you know.
Isn't that what happens?
No, we don't.
Do we reflect upon the Holocaust from 70 AD? No.
We do. On Tisha B'Av, we remember everything and every community, and we never forget. you know, the atrocities that were done to our people. And Esav, so to say, in the same way, will never be able to move away from the stark reality that Yaakov took the most valuable thing in history. He can't just live a regular mundane life. His whole existence was snatched from him. So, yes, last remark.
This isn't a remark, this is number five, where he says, In Levan Garti, is it Echar or Echar?
Echar Adata.
What is Echar?
And I was delayed.
Oh, like, delayed
like
until now.
Like Muhar.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Wait, late? That's why I haven't come to you until now. Because I was, you know, caught up with Lavan. But he uses the word garti, which is, this word stands out, like, from all the words, it's all regular words, and it stands out like crazy, and Rashi builds on it and explains that he's trying to convince Esav very deeply that he will never get the blessings. And again, I emphasize that what Esav doesn't have even a concept of is that the Koach HaTfilah, Koach HaTorah of Yaakov Avinu can overcome his power of Torah and Tfilah, can overcome that even when he does his utmost, and the blessing seemingly will not fall on him because he's not worthy. Nevertheless, Yaakov has the Koach HaTorah and Koach HaTfilah, and that's what he'll have a connection. And that's why he'll be blessed. And Esav has no connection to that. Because Esav is understands black and white. You know, you get the blessings, you're worthy, you're not worthy, you're finished. There's no relationship with Hashem. No, Yaakov is in relationship with Hashem. And so on. So, that ends our series for tonight. And I want to thank everybody. Thank you.